Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Find Your Artistic Voice. The Essential Guide to Working Your Creative Magic is a practical creative guide by illustrator and author Lisa Congdon, published by Chronicle Books. It addresses a common problem for artists and other makers, how to develop work that feels recognizably their own, rather than derivative, hesitant, or shaped mainly by outside approval. Congdon writes from the perspective of an artist who began her professional creative career later in adulthood, which gives the book a practical and inclusive orientation. Rather than treating artistic voice as an inborn gift, she presents it as something that emerges through repeated making, self-knowledge, experimentation, and persistence. The book combines conceptual explanation, personal reflection, artist interviews, and visual material. Its central purpose is to help readers understand the components of voice, including style, skill, subject matter, medium, and consistency, while also addressing the emotional obstacles that often prevent artists from trusting their own instincts. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, artistic voice is broader than visual style. A central distinction in the book is that artistic voice is not identical to style. Style refers to the observable look and feel of the work, the kinds of marks an artist makes, the use of color, the degree of precision or looseness, and the movement between representation and abstraction. Congdon treats style as important, but only one part of a larger system. Voice also includes subject matter, personal history, medium, recurring concerns, and what the work communicates emotionally or intellectually. This distinction matters because many artists try to find their voice by imitating surface features they admire in others. Congdon redirects attention toward the deeper patterns that form when artists repeatedly make decisions that reflect their own interests, limitations, memories, and preferences. In this framework, voice is not a branding exercise or a fixed visual formula. It is the cumulative identity of the work. The practical implication is that artists should study their repeated choices over time rather than forcing a premature signature style. Voice becomes visible when the work begins to carry a consistent personality that is more specific than technique alone. Secondly, consistency emerges from regular practice rather than sudden discovery. Congdon presents consistency as evidence that a voice is forming, not as a rule that blocks experimentation. Regular practice allows an artist to repeat certain marks, themes, media, and compositional habits often enough to notice what feels natural and what remains borrowed. This is why the book emphasizes making art frequently, even in small increments. Daily or near-daily work creates a body of evidence. Instead of asking in the abstract what their voice is, artists can examine what they actually keep returning to. The reasoning is practical voice cannot be analyzed into existence before sufficient work has been made. It is clarified through iteration, comparison, revision, and the gradual narrowing of possibilities. Congdon also acknowledges that repetition can feel monotonous, but she treats that monotony as part of skill formation. A repeated subject or medium can deepen rather than limit the work, because familiarity frees attention for subtler decisions. At the same time, she does not argue for rigid sameness. Experimentation remains necessary, but consistency gives experiments a recognizable center rather than leaving them as disconnected exercises. Thirdly, the book redefines skill as expressive fluency rather than academic perfection. One of the book's most useful interventions is its challenge to narrow ideas of artistic skill. Congdon notes that traditional art education and art history often linked skill with realistic rendering, academic precision, and technical control. She does not dismiss technique, but she broadens the meaning of competence. In her view, skill can include the ability to communicate feeling, use limitation inventively, develop symbols, repeat marks with intention, or build a distinct relationship with materials. This matters because many emerging artists judge themselves against standards that may not fit the kind of work they are trying to make. If skill is defined only as realism or polish, then expressive, graphic, naive, abstract, or intentionally imperfect work can be wrongly dismissed as inadequate. Congdon reframes idiosyncrasy as a potential strength. Personal quirks, unusual interests, and even technical irregularities can become part of a voice when they are used consistently and consciously. The practical effect is not to excuse weak work, but to help artists evaluate growth according to the aims of their own practice. Technical development remains valuable, yet it serves expression rather than replacing it. Fourthly, frustration and self-doubt are treated as normal parts of the creative process. Congdon devotes significant attention to the psychological strain of making art. The book recognizes that creative work often passes through an awkward middle stage, when the piece feels unresolved and the artist is tempted to abandon it. Rather than interpreting this discomfort as proof of failure, Congdon treats it as a routine condition of artistic development. This is an important mechanism in the book because voice requires enough persistence to move through uncertainty. If an artist stops whenever the work becomes messy, the process never reaches the stage where more complex decisions can emerge. The same principle applies to self-doubt, comparison, and fear of being derivative. Kangen does not present confidence as a prerequisite for making art. Instead, she suggests that confidence is built by continuing to work while those feelings are present. This approach is pragmatic rather than purely inspirational. The artist learns through repeated encounters with frustration that difficulty is not exceptional. Over time, staying with difficult work creates both technical resilience and a more personal visual language because the artist has to solve problems in ways that suit their own instincts. Lastly, solitude, feedback, study, and observation all contribute to voice. The book balances the private nature of artistic voice with the need for outside input and broader engagement. Kangen encourages artists to create space for solitude because personal work requires time away from constant comparison, performance, and audience reaction. Solitude allows artists to notice what they are genuinely drawn to before external approval reshapes the work. At the same time, she does not advocate isolation. Feedback partners, critique groups, classes, and exposure to other artists can sharpen perception and expand creative vocabulary. The point is to use community as a source of reflection rather than as a substitute for judgment. Kangen also emphasizes mindful engagement with the world. Observation, collecting references, noticing color, studying objects, and remaining open to experience all feed the visual and conceptual material from which voice develops. This broadens the process beyond studio discipline alone. Voice is formed through making, but it is also formed through what an artist pays attention to. The book's practical model, therefore, combines inward attention, repeated work, informed feedback, and active curiosity about the surrounding world. In conclusion, find your artistic voice is most useful for visual artists, illustrators, designers, craft practitioners, and creative professionals who feel technically active but uncertain about what makes their work distinct. It can also benefit writers and other makers because many of its principles concern creative identity rather than one medium alone. Readers gain a clearer vocabulary for separating style from voice, a more flexible understanding of skill, and a practical model for using repetition, feedback, and observation to build a recognizable body of work. The book is especially helpful for people discouraged by comparison, late starts, or the belief that originality should arrive fully formed. Compared with many creativity books, its distinguishing feature is its close attention to the mechanics of artistic identity. It does not focus primarily on productivity systems, commercial career planning, or general inspiration. Instead, it examines how personal history, material choices, visual habits, subject matter, and persistence combine over time. Kangen's authority also comes from a visible creative practice and an unconventional career path, which makes the advice grounded rather than abstract. The book stands out because it treats voice as both emotional and procedural, something shaped by courage and self-acceptance, but also by routine, study, experimentation, and sustained work. If you would like to support Lisa Kangen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.